You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Steve Jones inside the penalty area. Good cross. Mendonca! It's extraordinary! Absolutely extraordinary! A hat-trick for Clyde Mendonca!
Oh, what an effort that is! A wonderful goal, Matthias! They're already warming to this man at Hillsborough, and that will do nothing to discourage the love from the Sheffield Wednesday fans. A wonderful goal!
Puts it into an area. Keogh! Zamora! Unbelievable!
Hello again, I'm Ben Turner and welcome back to the EFL Preview Show. This week joining me is a man with one of the most remarkable stories in football.
And now it's Thompson! Well, he's won his own real survival fight. Football is nothing compared to that. But that is a hugely important goal, which may just keep Rochdale in League One. It's some story. It's his first goal since February 2017. A man who has twice beaten cancer. That's the real survival battle. It puts everything into perspective.
Yes, former Rochdale and Tranmere star Joe Thompson, who's also been a guest on our Legends show, joins us to look ahead to some mouthwatering games across all three divisions. In the Sky Bet Championship this week, we'll be looking ahead to Bristol City against Birmingham, Wigan v Preston, and the big one between Nottingham Forest and Leeds. In Sky Bet League One, it's another clash of the heavyweights this week as Sunderland take on Ipswich. And in Sky Bet League Two, it's welcome back again as Stuart McCall's first game in charge at Bradford sees the Bantams take on Ian Holloway's Grimsby. So let's start with the return of Stuart McCall for a third time as manager of Bradford City. Here he is speaking to the club's media team after getting reintroduced to the players again.
It's not nothing to do with me, this coming back. It's about the football club. And as I say, I don't want any. It's just when I spoke to Julian yesterday, he was on about maybe coming in on Thursday and getting started. And I said, well, Julian, if it's going to happen and you know everything's okay, then really we'd like to be in the first thing in the morning. Hence, me and Kenny were here this morning at 8 o'clock and really excited to be back at a proper football club.
The Sky Bet Championship.
So we'll start with the Friday night game, which sees Bristol City take on Birmingham, starting with the home side, Joe. Four wins on the bounce for them and now only 5 points off second as well. How much is this a chance for them to make a statement playing first up this weekend as well?
I think for any team, you know, if you can have a Friday night game and do well in it and come away with 3 points, it's a massive statement because at the end of the day, you know, all the other teams are watching, particularly the ones in and around you. So it's a wonderful opportunity for Bristol City to continue their kind of rich vein of form.
Was that the case for you as well? Did you used to watch, you know, the games that were taking place before, you know, your match that could have affected you?
Definitely. You've got to always remember that half the teams have probably travelled away. So, you know, they're sat in a hotel with not much to do. So that Friday night game is massive. And if you're being watched by the other teams, it is a clear opportunity to make a statement. But also, if you're not up to it on that night, people do see kind of weaknesses in a way and remember those moving forward for games coming thick and fast through the season.
Certainly do come thick and fast at this time of the year. Bristol City have, you know, they've been in the promotion picture for the last few years as well. Do you think they have a good chance of promotion based on those experiences of previous years?
I'd say so. You know, it's a club moving in the right direction. What Lee Johnson and a good friend of mine, Dean Holden, has created down there is something special. You know, with the stadium, the owner. Like you say, four wins on the spin. I think the reintroduction of Jamie Patterson as well, since he's come back on loan from Derby, I know he's chipped in with a few goals, has been massive because obviously they lost Brownhill as well to Burnley. So they've lost the captain, but things do seem to be fitting into place. And it is a team that are on the cusp of doing great things in a way.
And Naki Wells, obviously, another big January signing for them. How important could that bit of business be for Bristol City as well, do you think?
Huge. You know, like I say, the loss of Brownhill in midfield, captain. He's been leading from the front. He's been magnificent and he's been rewarded with that move to Burnley. But shrewd bit of business, you know. I'm sure QPR are gutted to have lost Naki Wells. He's been prolific for them. And he's always had that knack of scoring, whether it's at Bradford and, you know, other teams. He's always had that knack of being in the right place and that fox in the box. So Naki Wells is a great piece of business, and I'm sure they'll be hoping he continues scoring goals and, you know, hopefully gets them that promotion that I'm sure they really want.
Mm. Yeah, an awkward debut for him last week against QPR as well, I suppose. he came out
on the right side of things.
He did. Didn't get on the score sheet though, but yeah, he certainly got the result.
It would have been an interesting one to see how he celebrated.
Yeah.
If he had scored, but yeah, he was on the winning side, and I suppose that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, we've got a similar question coming up shortly about that. But what is it like, coming back to Naki Wells, what is it like when you've, you know, when you've got someone in your team like that who, you know, you can more or less rely on to get your goals? You know, you look at his record, you know, he's a goal every couple of games, essentially.
From a team perspective, it's huge. It's, you know, even when your back's against the wall and the momentum's going the other way, if you've got a striker at the top end of the field that you know that can either produce a little bit of magic or, you know, score a goal out of nothing. You know, if I look back to kind of my career, and the ones that have really kicked on, there was the likes of Glenn Murray. You knew, even if Muzza wasn't having such a great game, that if a chance did come, he would score. And even the likes of like Ricky Lambert, Grant Holt, early on in my career, I knew, you know, if there was a chance that they would bury it in a way. So, you know, that it's always confidence. And even like for a winger, you know, put a ball in the box, you never know what they might create, because they're usually in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, Glenn Murray obviously signing that new deal as well. 36 years of age, still playing in the Premier League. So a top striker.
Incredible. You know, hats off. I think for that, that's just down to, you know, professionalism. And he knew his game back then. And he really did under, I'd say, Gus Poyet at Brighton at the time. Really honed in on his strengths, and what he's gone on to achieve has been unbelievable.
And getting on to Birmingham now, Joe, a big win against an in-form Forest last week, unbeaten in four now as well. Do you see confidence growing there now?
I'd say so. It's tricky, you know. They're sat in 17th, I think. So it's a big club, you know, massive fan base. And it's taken a bit of time for him to really adjust, I would say. But confidence boost, definitely. You know, Forest are doing ever so well at the top end of the league. So that would have been a game that they maybe weren't expected to win, but they came away with a 3 points. So that's credit to them.
And we saw Aston Villa loanee Scott Hogan scoring in that match as well. Bit of a strange one, that, isn't it? On loan from, you know, your biggest rivals. And how strange would that be for him now? Surely he can't go back to Villa on the back of that.
Yeah, it's difficult. I know they're not in, you know, the same league at this moment in time, but it's a bitter rivalry. So to go from Aston Villa to Birmingham is unheard of to a degree. But Scott's done really well. You know, I remember when he came in at Rochdale when he was young, he was raw, he was hungry, power and pace, and he can always score goals, you know. He's done ever so well with Brentford in particular. But he's over recent years, he's had quite a few bad injuries and maybe not got that rhythm and that game time that he really wanted, you know, at the likes of Sheffield United and Stoke. So I'm sure he'll be chomping at the bit. And, you know, scoring a goal always helps settle you into a new club. And I'm sure from a fan's perspective, they'll be excited to see many more.
Yeah, I'm sure some of those Birmingham fans have forgiven him since joining from Aston Villa. Bristol City haven't got the best record at home, so Birmingham may have a chance of taking something from this one. Now let's move on to the early kickoff on Saturday as Preston face a short trip to Wigan. How much will that Wigan squad, though, be on a high after that win away at Leeds last weekend? Another win at Elland Road.
Yeah, incredible. I bet it was a massive coupon buster. Not many would have seen that going, particularly with Wigan's away record over the last year or so. But to come away with a 1-0 win would have really galvanised the team. Because I'm sure for large periods of the game, they wouldn't have had the ball and it would have been literally a huge team effort to a man. So to come away with a clean sheet is huge for them. So, going into that Preston game, it's obviously, again, another huge derby. Not too far for Preston to travel. So Wigan will be up for it, I'm sure.
And back-to-back wins for Wigan as well. A win would take them out of the bottom three, for a short period. How big will that be for them psychologically? It's such a battle, obviously, in the Championship.
Yeah, it's that invisible line, but you know it's always there. And when you're in the relegation zone, yeah, you know you're in it. So if they do come away with a victory and manage to kind of claw themselves out of the relegation zone, I'm sure they'll be looking to kick on and use the back-to-back wins as momentum.
One player who will be heading back to Wigan and playing this weekend will be Anthony Robinson as well, after a failed move to AC Milan. What's it like when you seem to have a dream move like that on the cards and it's taken away from you at the last minute? Have you got any experience of that?
Not to that degree, you know.
I don't think many have got to that degree.
I know. It was one when it popped up on the kind of the transfers and the news. I was like, wow. But, you know, to be linked with such a massive club, first and foremost, I'm sure is a real honour for him. And, you know, confidence-wise, I'm sure, you know, it's gone through the roof. But like you say, for them to put a stop to it for whatever reason is gutting. But he'll have to get back to, you know, basics and continuing doing what he's been doing. And I'm sure there'll be many other clubs looking at him. But for me and my experiences, there was an opportunity for me to go to the Championship a few times. For one reason or another, moves didn't materialise. I remember I was meant to go the following day and pull my quad in training the day before. So, you know, whether it's injuries or whether the deal doesn't quite work out for both parties, once you get yourself, I suppose, ready to make the move and mentally in the right place to make the move, I'm sure it's quite gutting. But like I say, he's just going to have to pick himself back up and get back doing what he's doing.
And when a move like that, obviously, you know, to a club like AC Milan, you know, huge club in world football, and then no disrespect to Wigan and the Championship, obviously a fantastic league in its own right, but to be denied that move so late on, what will it be like for him to come, not back down to earth, but to be with, you know, that Wigan squad again, when you could have been playing with, you know, some of the likes of the names in that AC Milan team?
Yeah, it's a really strange one, isn't it? Because even down to, you know, Wigan and AC Milan, it's a tricky one. I suppose it comes down to the individual, and he'll know more than obviously us, kind of what went on and maybe what went wrong. So down to, you know, the character. I'm sure the lads we've been training would have had a little bit of banter with him and tried to create that normality as soon as possible. But, you know, he's been doing really well. So it's just a case of sticking to that and waiting to see what happens in the summer.
Speaking of transfers and Preston's business, Scott Sinclair, he had a dream debut last week, didn't he? You know, scoring on his against Swansea. What's it like to get off to a start like that at a new club?
I think it's really important. I'm like mad on that kind of psychology and the mindset of things. For Scott Sinclair to go there and to score, you know, there would have been expectations for him to hit the ground running. I'm sure he would have put pressure on himself. So for an attacker to get off the mark as soon as possible is massive. You don't want that kind of monkey on your back for too long. And it's the same with any player. You know, with a defender, you want to be keeping clean sheets if you go to a new team, and showing why they paid X amount for you, you know, and justifying the transfer.
And he had no trouble celebrating that goal either.
No, he didn't. You could see the elation. Yeah, it really was them. You know, I'm sure he'd been excited for that moment and really tried to visualise and hope that he'd score a goal, and for him to score the goal on the debut like he did, you could see the elation and, yeah, he'd be buzzing.
Yeah, but playing devil's advocate, obviously it's against his former team, his last team in England, Swansea. Some people would say that's maybe a bit disrespectful. What do you make of that?
It's difficult, you know. It's that emotion of scoring a goal. I tend to love to see that. And sometimes people do get carried away. You know, I'm sure Scott's been a slightly frustrated with, you know, certain things that have happened at Celtic. And we never know how it kind of parted ways with Swansea. But it's, I'm sure, you know, he respects the fans at Swansea. But, you know, football tends to move on. So you do see some players, you know, celebrate it slightly reserved in a way and muted. But, you know, football moves on and there's games coming thick and fast.
Yeah, obviously, in the EFL, that's always the case. The game's coming thick and fast. I know it's a short trip to Wigan, but Preston do have one of the worst records in the league on the road. Can you be serious about going for promotion when you can't consistently pick up points on the road?
You've got to get that balance, I suppose. They'll be aware of that, and I'm sure Alex Neil will be aware of that. You know, he's done a terrific job whilst he's been there for nearly three years. They picked up, I think it was 13 wins, I read. But they'll want to make sure those away wins do pick up, particularly coming to the back end of the season. You know, they're in and around it in seventh, and they're right in the mix of the kind of playoffs. But you want to be having that momentum. And the sooner they start picking up points away from home, the better.
Well, Wigan unbeaten in their last five games against Preston at the DW Stadium as well. So, you know, it could be a tough ask for them to pick up all 3 points there. Now on to the tea time kickoff with two of the top sides in the division who suffered shock defeats last time out.
Oh, it took a deflection, it's way through and it's in! Surely not again! Joe Williams will take all of the congratulations, but Alan Road is stunned, just as it was last Easter, by the Championship strugglers.
Here's Bella's corner. So many bodies in there. A scramble and turned in by Pedersen from very close range. And Birmingham, having been one goal down, have turned things around here and turned the form book right on its head. This won't win goal of the season. Birmingham City won't mind about that. Couldn't really miss, could he, a big defender. 74 minutes gone. And the Blues lead here.
Yeah, a mouth-watering clash, this one, between Forest and Leeds. Joe, how much pressure is on Leeds in this one to deliver now? When, you know, when we, you know, recently before Christmas, they were, you know, so far clear of the rest of the pack in terms of, you know, the top two between them and West Brom. But before kickoff, you know, they could be outside of the top two.
Yeah, and, you know, Leeds have stuttered kind of recently. And, you know, they wouldn't have expected going into that Wigan game to come away with nothing. So, you know, they'll need to get it sorted sooner rather than later. Because I think the expectancy is just around that club, you know. I know a lot of the fans still dream of getting back in the Premiership, and Bielsa's been there quite a while now, and I think they need to, in the next, particularly in the next 6 months to a year, need to get back to the Premiership sooner rather than later. So it's pressure, but I think that's football, you know, and it's either pressure at the top of the league or at the bottom of the league, but I know which one I preferred. So it's just about embracing it and taking every game as it comes and, you know, sticking to the plan.
And both, you know, Leeds did quite a bit of business in January as well. January signings, Ian Paveda and John Kevin Augustin, yet to make their debuts for Leeds, had a chance to last weekend, but Marcel Bielsa opting not to let them both feature. Based on the struggle to get a goal against Wigan, though, they seemed to dominate that game, did Leeds, last weekend against Wigan in terms of possession and chances. Does one of these players have to feature in this one, you know, being them both being attacking players, of course?
I'd say so, but I'm sure Bielsa had his reasons for not, you know, putting them on. But after time or a couple of weeks, you know, people might be saying, why have we brought him in? And I'm sure the players themselves will want to get some minutes. So I'm sure, you know, over the weekend, they will feature in some way, shape or form. And it's also about trying to integrate him into the team, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot from Bielsa about that, about him sort of waiting a good few weeks before he gives players, new players, chances to sort of integrate him into his system and his style as well. Do you think that also could be the
philosophy, case? I think, and that's fair enough, you know. Sometimes when you do move on, a coach sees the game in a different way and he wants you to do certain things in a different way. So he'll want to see that on the training pitch before, you know, he puts him in. And that's his kind of way. And you know, with Leeds over the last year or so, they do play terrific football, high tempo. I remember when I watched them against Arsenal at the Emirates in the FA Cup. For the first 45 minutes, they were magnificent. So even that, as a player coming into it, got to get up to speed, you know, get up to the routine of training and catch up to the group in a way. So, yeah, I'm sure they will play, but it's just a case of when, I suppose.
Yeah, we saw this happen last year to Leeds, though, where they seemed to tail off after that Christmas period. Is it mental burnout for some of these players, do you think, with the, you know, the intensity that Marcelo Bielsa expects?
It's the question. It's a good question. I think mental burnout, physical burnout. I think, you know, it's always trying to manage that workload of the squad and as a group. But it's intensity, you know, attention to detail. And you can, as a group, burn out. I remember we did it when I was at Rochdale and we was flying top of the league and the squad was just too small. We didn't have the legs to really, you know, kick on in that second half of the season, and we managed to come third in the end. But we got promoted, which is fine. But you always look back at that season and think, what could have been? Leeds will be fully aware that it's happened before, whether that's the coaching staff and the players. So that's something that they'll be mindful of.
How important is it for Forest, though, looking at them now, to take this opportunity to claw the gap even further, to cut it to just I think it's a point they'd be behind Leeds if they won this one?
Yeah, you know, sitting in fourth, and like you say, if they do get the 3 points, they go within touching distance of them. And at this point of the kind of season, you do need to be taking points off your rivals and the ones that are in and around you, because even from that psychological aspect, like you said, you know, going toe-to-toe with him on Saturday and coming away with 3 points can really make an impact on them both psychologically in a way.
We talked about Leeds not taking their chances against Wigan, of course, but Lewis Grabban, in terms of his penalties, has now missed 5 out of his last 11 for Forest after last week's miss. He's obviously been very clinical in front of goal so far this season, but do you think, you know, you have to take penalty-taking duties off him now? You know, obviously he's a top scorer, but that sort of record, you know, you can't miss those chances, can you?
No, I'm sure Lewis is like every other striker, you know. If they give him the opportunity to score a goal from 12 yards unopposed, they'll literally grab the ball and get it on the spot as soon as possible. But, you know, that comes down to management in a way. And, you know, I heard Pep talking about it the other week. You got to make a decision whether you take him off him. And I'm sure if you do take him off him, you know, he'll be a little bit annoyed. But if you have missed that many, then I think, you know, it might be time for somebody else to step up and take the responsibility.
In general, how important is it for both sides, though, in this sort of situation, that you don't lose these sort of matches? You mentioned there, obviously, you know, second against fourth. You can't afford to drop points against the teams around you, can you?
No, not at all. And I suppose after both losing last time out, you know, a point might do them both well. You know, going into that game, that you can't come away with nothing. So it might be a case of assessing as the game goes on, you know, shall we take a point? Shall we kind of tactically change things to just strengthen ourselves defensively and just call it a day?
Skybet League One.
Now on to another huge match as Sunderland face Ipswich at the Stadium of Light. Defeats for both of these sides last week against promotion rivals in Peterborough and against Portsmouth. Is it a case of these two can't afford to lose another one, you know, in terms of, you know, losing, like we mentioned with Leeds and Nottingham Forest, losing against another one of the rivals?
Yeah, and exactly the same, like you said, Ben. The situation with the Forest and the Leeds game and this Sunderland-Ipswich game, you know, up until then, Sunderland have been doing quite well, but, you know, they went away to Portsmouth and, you know, got comfortably beaten in the end. So it's something that they'll want to, you know, put right as soon as possible. But it's a big game at the Stadium of Light this weekend.
Yeah, you know, like we mentioned, you know, two big clubs. Ipswich the first season down in League One. Sunderland the second season down there. Who do you think out of these sides is best placed to go up now? Both managers, you know, have gained promotion from this division before, of course.
Good question. Sunderland, I would say, from, you know, the fans, the owners, the players will feel like, you know, they've been in League One for too long now and they want to get to the Championship as soon as possible. Obviously, they missed out in the playoffs last time round. And Ipswich, you know, they've done really well because you always look at the teams when they fall out of the Championship into League One. It tends to take them a little bit of time before they bounce back up. So, you know, 48 points out of the 29 so far. They'll be quietly confident that they can get promotion back to the Championship first time round.
But so tight at the top in League One, similar to like it was last season as well. But a lot of momentum, I suppose, lost for Ipswich after such a strong start to the season. Does that make it harder for them now with the likes of Rotherham, who've, you know, had maybe like a dramatic rise up to the top of the table?
Yeah, it's that key word, momentum. It's and in football, if you have got the momentum so as a player, you feel like you're just rolling in and you can't wait for the next game because, you know, you feel slightly unstoppable at times. But it'd just be a case for Ipswich to just reset, reevaluate and go again because they're sat in fourth and, you know, they have been doing really well. So it's just a case of, you know, not making, I suppose, a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, you'll enjoy this stat. You'd have to go all the way back to 1956 since the last time Ipswich lost three in a row at this level, so the pressure will be ramping up on Paul Lambert if they lose this one.
Skybet League Two.
Now on to Skybet League Two, and where else could we go this week than to Bradford taking on Grimsby? Stuart McCall returning to Bradford for a third spell as manager. They never say, you know, go back, but going back for a third time now, can that work for Bradford, do you think?
I'd say so. You know, he knows the club inside out. He's been very successful with them. So it's just a case of, you know, having a look and assessing his squad. They've clearly not been doing as well as they should be. And I'm sure Stuart will go in with a few fresh ideas and try and get them, you know, back on track on where they should be.
Sixth in League One when he was sacked last time he was in charge. Eighth in League Two now, back in charge. You know, promotion, obviously, the expectation for a club like Bradford and McCall in Skybet League Two, but 7 points off the automatic spots. Do you think that's still a realistic target for them?
Yeah. All can change, you know, within, I'd say, the space of 3 games. He'll be looking at that, thinking, you know, if I really do galvanise this group, then, you know, promotion is on the cards. So, I think, yeah, if I was a manager going in, I would look at that job and look at it in a positive way, thinking, you know, we're in and around it. And, you know, at Valley Parade, if those fans get the place bouncing, that it can be a real fortress in a way.
And of course, in touching distance of the playoffs. So you'd feel as if they got the momentum, that crowd could really help them.
Massively. You know, sometimes I played there and you know you feel like you're doing all right for the first 35 minutes, and then Bradford will get a chance and the crowd pick up and the game just shifts. So they'll really want to get behind Stuart, and I'm sure their fans will be down in their droves to support him, because he is Mr. Bradford, I suppose.
Yeah, and some amazing support for Skybet League 2, the Bradford City fans. And obviously Grimsby have one of the EFL's best-known characters in place in Ian Holloway. I know it's a while since he's been appointed, but how good is it to see him back in the game?
Huge personality. And, you know, it's pretty black and white with Ian Holloway. You see it, he says it. And, like you say, a massive character. I'm sure the lads will enjoy going in every day to what will be an upbeat, loud, you know, environment. And he's done really well. I was listening to him the other week talking about how many injuries he's had. So that's something that he's had to deal with. Lost a lot of his strike force and power up there. So something that he's having to contend with. But it looks like he's enjoying the challenge. So, like I say, two real managers there that, to me, look like they've got really good man management skills. So I'm sure both sets of players will be enjoying playing under him.
Yeah, great to see two real characters back in the game. And it should be a cracking match, that one. Joe, thanks for your time this week and have a great weekend.
No problem. Thank you very much. You too.
That's it from us this week. Don't forget, you can listen back to a special edition of our podcast featuring Joe Thompson's inspiring story, which saw him battle back from cancer twice before helping save Rochdale from relegation. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, remember to like and subscribe to the show. Thanks again for listening.